25. Missing. Modo felt as though a huge hand had tossed him, whirling and tumbling, through the air. Stinging chunks of brick and wood banged against him. The force of the blow sent him right through the open door and back into the sewer, splashing face down in the sludge. He let out a bubble, then panicked. Something was on his back. The weight shifted, and Modo was able to push himself up to his hands and knees, sucking in a breath, then coughing at the stench and the burning in his lungs.
"Well, that was a piece of luck," Octavia said.
She stood close by, well lit by the flames inside the chamber. She wiped her hands on her pantaloons.
"I landed right on you. Very gentlemanly of you to lay yourself down for me, otherwise I'd be soaked in sewage too."
Modo stood up and brought his hand to his head. No blood. Flicking aside his sopping hood, he felt the water drain down his back.
"Are you hurt?"
he asked.
"I seem to be intact, thanks to you."
She looked into the chamber.
"That was a very clever trap."
Modo patted his body, searching for injuries. His ears were ringing.
"Dr. Hyde is the one who uses clockworks. That bird must have been his invention."
Octavia had the pocket lucifer in her hand. The lid was twisted, and it wouldn't work.
"They broke my light,"
she lamented, and tossed it into the stream.
"Well, I guess that's all we'll find here."
Octavia sloshed back toward where they had entered the tunnel. Modo paused to look behind them in the burning room. To his surprise, he saw his walking stick floating on the water. He grabbed it and followed Octavia. The journey back to the gazebo was one Modo would never want to repeat. The pitch black, the squeaking rats, and the cold, slimy walls that he had to touch to keep his bearings. He followed Octavia's sloshing until he saw a spot of light. They climbed the rope ladder, and Octavia pulled on her dress and petticoats while Modo looked away. He wiped off his face and hands on a petticoat Octavia sacrificed for the purpose.
"You are a master of propriety," she said, clearly amused. "It's my nature."
Octavia climbed up the wood ladder first, and Modo entertained the idea that he might be able to catch her should she fall. He knew it was very unlikely that she would slip. Once outside, he took a deep, delicious breath. He'd never tasted such sweetness. He sucked in more fresh air, so hard that he started hacking and had to press his hands against his ribs.
"Are you going to live?" Octavia asked. "You're looking more than a little pale. And what's that rash?"
Modo put a hand to his face, horrified.
"Oh, no. Apparently bathing in sewage doesn't agree with me." "Well, it doesn't agree with my shoes either,"
Octavia said, pointing down at her ornate shoes, which were now ornately covered with crud.
"They're ruined."
She cursed her sorry shoes for a few moments, then they walked to the street. It took wily charm and 3 extra pence, but Octavia was able to procure a cab, and a short time later, the smelly mess of them was dropped off at Tower House. Modo knew immediately something was wrong. The door was hanging by one hinge, and a fire window had been broken. Where was Mr. Socrates? He charged through the door and into the hall.
"Wait, you fool!"
Octavia shouted.
"You don't know who's in there."
He carried on, picturing Mr. Socrates and Tharpa bleeding, broken, maybe dead. He turned the head of the walking stick so that the knife was out. If someone was lurking in the house, Murder would slice them to pieces. He burst into the dining room, brandishing the walking stick like a sword. The round table had been pushed over, and the globe broken. Books had been pulled from the shelves. And blood. Blood on the rug. He ran over to take a better look, but discovered it was just spilled wine.
"You shouldn't charge in mad as a Stamford bull."
Octavia stood in the doorway, hands on hips.
"Surely you were trained to do better than this. You could have a bullet in the center of your forehead."
Modo clenched the walking stick.
"If they've hurt Mr. Socrates, they'll suffer." "Come now, Modo."
Octavia grabbed his rigid arm.
"Be calm. Chances are Mr. Socrates wasn't even home."
Modo found another red stain on the floor, and this time it indeed was blood. He stared down at it as though looking into an abyss.
"Is it Mr. Socrates?" he whispered. "There's no way to know. But he's survived worse attacks than this, and he would have had Tharpa with him." Modo couldn't picture anything that could defeat Tharpa, other than a bullet. "We need to take stock of what happened." Octavia pointed at the blood. "Obviously, someone was wounded. If they were dead, I imagine they'd still be lying here, or there'd be a trail of blood out the front door. We can take heart in that, at least." Modo stared at the blood, then shook his head. He told himself to calm down. She was right. This was not how he had been trained to react in a crisis. "Yes, Tavia," he said. "But how did they find Tower House?" "I don't know. It's surprising they did. Mr. Socrates guards his secrets well. Men like Mr. Socrates have many places to hide. If he and Tharpa escaped, they're safely somewhere else by now." "How do we find them?" "There's the rub." She paused. "We can't find them. This is the only house I was allowed to know about, and Mr. Socrates isn't someone you can easily find. He prefers to find us." Modo's heart rate had slowed down. "I need rest," he thought. "Rest." But how could he rest without knowing the fate of his master with certainty? Octavia sat down on a parlour chair with a heavy sigh. "What shall we do, Modo?" He turned the knob on the walking stick once more and leaned on the now dull end. He didn't want to sit down with all the filth caked and dried to his clothing. "Well, we don't really have an assignment at the moment. We have no further leads on the young men. One can only hope that Mr. Socrates has located the other ones on the list, including the prince. Perhaps we ought to see if we can locate the missing children." "Ah, you're thinking now, Modo," Octavia said. "What if the people who carried out this attack return? I don't know that I'd want to remain here past nightfall, but I wonder if my room at the Langham is safe. We should scout around the rest of the house." They walked through several rooms, finding no more signs of a struggle. Climbing the spiral stairs to the top of the turret, they discovered an observation room with several slit windows and three telescopes. With all that equipment, Mr. Socrates still hadn't seen the danger coming. They ended their search in the kitchen. "Where are the servants?" Modo asked. "They likely fled. In any case, Mr. Socrates kept very few besides Tharpa." Octavia prepared two glasses of water and set them on the servants' table. "Thank you," Modo said, gulping one down. He touched the teapot that sat on the table. "Tavia, it's still warm. It wasn't that long ago that all this happened. If only we'd returned a little earlier." He poured himself a cup of the tea, and his stomach growled. In the bread cupboard he found a loaf, crusted with sesame seeds. Mrs. Finchley would have similar loaves ready whenever the master was visiting. He cut four pieces, picked up butter, honey, and cheese, and brought it all to the table. He and Octavia ate quickly. "Your rash is getting worse," she said as they finished. In all the excitement, Modo had forgotten himself. Now he wanted to rush to a mirror. He felt his face with both hands. Everything seemed fine. It had only been 4 hours since his last transformation. "I'll look after it later. Maybe there's an ointment somewhere." "What are we going to do now?" "Well, I'm going to take a bath." "A bath?" Modo couldn't hide his incredulity. "We need to be clean if we are to take another cab. I suggest, though this may be improper for me to do so, that you too take a bath. You're not smelling particularly pleasant." Modo made a show of sniffing himself and wrinkled his nose. "A bath it is,"